Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillins and Brad Forsythe.
Always great to have you here at The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsythe. Always a pleasure. Advertising Show brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show, a Big Radio Midgets production. Will Ender, our special guest today. Will is co-author of a book called... Where is it? Hold on, I got to find the book. It's right here. It's called Green Tailing and Other Revolutions in Retail. So we'll talk to Will for a few segments. We also have very shortly here Shamin Abbas, our activist for excellence. Broad versus targeted is what she's talking about today. And a little bit later on in the show, the customer experience with Jean Bliss. It says, hold your inner wallet. What timely advice right around the holidays, unless you're a retailer and you want people to let go of your inner wallet and spend. But it hasn't been good. And a lot of the stores closing that would be around this time of the year may not be here as of the first of the year of 2009 or next year. So it's an interesting scenario with retailing this holiday season. Have you gotten all your Christmas shopping done, Brad?
Well, I have, and before we go forward, I want to mention, you know, to all of our listeners that, you know, you're sitting back there in the studio enjoying yourself. You've got your belt loosened up. That top button is open, and I just wanted to ask you, did you get enough to eat over Thanksgiving?
I did, and I didn't eat a lot, and I'm happy about that.
Well,
you know, if they can make a sushi Thanksgiving, I would be a happy camper. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's just not traditional, Ray. You can't do that.
Sure you can. It's seafood. It's fine. Not a
That's
big deal.
True.
Hey, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to answer your question. Unlike past years, I try to be a little more organized. Years ago, I used to get out in the middle of all that and like to do a lot of last minute shopping with the advent of the internet and just, you know, a little calmer lifestyle that we all enjoy as we get out of our 20s and 30s and settle down a little bit. I tend to shop in advance and just take it easy, but, So in answer to your question, no, I'm not completely done shopping, but I'm working towards that.
I'm working on it. Yeah, working hard. Michelle Obama is a fashion plate, right? J. Crew, she wears brand. And basically, she surprised J. Crew when she wore one of its outfits on the appearance of The Tonight Show with Leno. Probably saw that. It's a $148 skirt, $148 top and a $118 cardigan. Basically, what they're suggesting, especially as you compare to with Palin, is she was prudence and fiscal prudence and basically behaving pretty smart there. So J. Crew benefits her response to Leno. Actually, this is a J. Crew ensemble. So. She also did a little tagline for them. Ladies, we know J. Crew. You can get some good stuff online. She should have given the website out or maybe a vanity number at that point, but that's okay. So anyway, it's pretty good. And what they said is marketers brought Michelle Obama keywords on Google, Microsoft, and Yahoo. They built a page on the J. Crew site that promoted her outfit and told the call center representatives how to handle queries about Ms. Obama's fashion. So... there you go. Smart move.
Public figure, I guess you can. Yeah, when you're a public figure, you have to take ridicule as well as criticism, but you can also be leveraged for commercial advantage, which is what they're doing at J. Crew. I think it's smart on their part to do that.
Absolutely. Will Anders coming up here on the Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsythe. And we'll have Will on here in just a couple of moments. Right now, Shamin Abbas, broad versus targeted is what the topic is today. Let's find out what that's all about.
And now it's time for Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
Let's talk about broad versus targeted pitching. When you're in PR, you need to know your media. Most of us make it a practice to socialize with our media contacts wherever possible, because outside the confines of the office, they'll often tell you what they really think. One of the biggest complaints I hear frequently is that they're inundated with press releases, but it's not so much the volume for some of them, but that they feel like publicists haven't taken the time to find out who covers that topic or industry. There are certainly times when blanketing the media with a news item is necessary. When one of our ad agency clients wins a new account, we not only send it personally to our trade and mainstream media contacts, but we also put the story out on PR Newswire for maximum pickup. At the other end of the spectrum, we have clients who do something very specific that requires we refine our approach and spend some time finding the best person to send that pitch to. Many PR firms subscribe to one of the media database services like Cision, and they are priceless in most cases, allowing you to sort by beat and secondary beat. But we also make it a practice to physically cull through the print media we're pitching to see if there are writers working on related stories or topics that aren't necessarily noted in the media database, or perhaps that person isn't even in the database. We also make sure to troll the local and regional broadcast news, since reporters' beats can change almost overnight. Pitching nationally versus locally also tends to follow that same pattern. There are no perfect shortcuts to sending information to the media. There are tools, but nothing totally replaces the necessary legwork.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional, with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
This is The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. What do you have there?
Well, you know, I feel, you know, indifferent about talking this way, but I'm going to have to say it. The worsening economic climate will have a very, very ugly effect on the media business and could force some companies to sell, according to a department chairman of News Corp European Business, Marty Popader. He apparently is, you know, was at an event recently, the European Media Leaders Summit in London, and he's quoted as saying, he's basically saying that, you know, we're in trouble and the recession is probably going to take a big hit in the media business. Well, you know, no kidding. I feel indifferent about reporting the news on the one hand, and then on the other hand, just kind of negging out. They say, right, if electricity was invented today versus, you know, 100 and some odd years ago, that the media would be coming out saying the candle business is in threat, and they'd be interviewing everybody that's making candles and saying, I can't believe that, yeah, you know, electricity is trying to put a candle business out of business. You know, it's just, right, it's all feeding, and we need to get consumers positive and talk about the good things going on.
And there are a lot of good things, and there's also a lot of smart advertisers who aren't hanging up their ad budgets. They're working them a little bit smarter. That's all. Nothing wrong with that. Will Anders, our special guest here today at The Advertising Show. Will, senior partner at McMillan Doolittle, a Chicago-based retail consulting firm. Will focuses on strategic planning, new concept development and assessment, and best practices identification and evaluation. 20-plus years at McMillan and McMillan Doolittle, Saturn, Sears, BP Amoco, McDonald's, Cabela's, Radio Shack, and much more. So we'll get a chance to talk with Will. He's author, also co-author of the book Green Tailing, Other Revolutions in Retail. Back in just a minute.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn, or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on captivate.com.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsyth.
Another public service announcement from Brill Cream. Men, beware. Use one dab of Brill Cream.
Welcome back on Just The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and sure Brad Forsyth. Will Ander out of Chicago this weekend used to work at Montgomery Ward. Well, I guess with Montgomery Ward. Okay, that's a little bit different. Also co-author of a book, Winning at Retail back in 04, and Greentailing, the one that we're talking about today, and Other Revolutions in Retailing by Wiley, and is with us here. Will, welcome to the Advertising Show. Great to have you here.
I'm glad to be with you.
Yeah, you know, Will, maybe first off we ought to start by defining the term greentailing. I think a lot of people have a sense of what that is, but let's get your definition.
Well, I think, you know, we've taken a pretty broad perspective on it. It covers environmentally sustainable, social responsibility, and actually economically profitable business practices. So we're looking at it more than just green from a social good cause point of view. We think it's driven heavily by the fact that people feel socially responsible and equally can make some money out of it.
Yeah, and I guess that's, when you say a broad view, I guess that's taking in consideration the consumer as well as the retailer and looking at it from both perspectives, I would imagine.
And the supplier, because the retailer is putting a lot of pressure, Walmart being a great example, we can talk about it later, is putting a lot of pressure on their suppliers to meet certain standards that are in the green vein of thinking.
When did going green really take off for the retail sector here in America?
You know, I would say we did a lot of research in the mid-90s because we thought it might have some traction, but it just really didn't have traction even with consumers at that point in time. They talked a little bit about it, but they really weren't willing to spend more for a comparable product or for a lesser product. But I would say it really took off. Obviously, there are a number of factors. Certainly, the social factors, and certainly the inconvenient truth that Gore and others had some pressure. But I would say 2005, Lee Scott stepped up and said, you know, we're committed to green and sustainability as a core business practice for Walmart. And that put pretty much pressure on everybody to get in line.
And you say back in the 90s it was, from a consumer's standpoint, you know, requiring a little more expense, I suppose. And I'm curious, in today's world, is the consumer looking at it as an added expense to be more ecological and green in their purchases, or can it be go sideways and you're really not spending as much necessarily?
Well, I'll give you a couple of numbers that'll help. In the mid-90s, we did a research trying to find out how much consumers were behind the environmentally sustainable areas. And there was like 5 to 6% what you'd call the naturalites or diehards who would spend more and accept less if it were green. But maybe only 25 or 30% at that point in time really would think about it or would consider it even if it was a tie. And we did this research last year with the same group, same questions, 8 years later, and we found maybe there's 10 to 15% who, you know, I'm so behind green, I'll buy green products and shop green retailers even if I have to pay a little more. But the more important fact is maybe almost half of the mass market, 50% from that 25%, and now is saying, you know, you give it to me at the same price and same performance, and I'll buy green products, and I will go to green retailers. What we're a little concerned, and I think it was in your question, was, well, what about in today's economic climate? And, mm-hmm. In fact, we're doing that research right now and should have it done early in December next week. We've seen some preliminary indications that it's not having a major impact yet. It's definitely people are concerned about spending money, but they're still saying pretty much, I still think green is moving forward. I think the idea of being socially responsible and working on environmentally sustainable direction makes sense. So we haven't got that back yet because that's a concern, but at least last year, before the economic crisis, we were seeing traction with the consumer. But really, retailing, the green tailing is being led by the retailers more than it is by the consumers.
There was an article this past week about stores that were actually want to charge their customers for plastic bags, those plastic bags that people use and put a tax on there or something like that. What a great idea. What a great idea to change a habit and make people pay for something that they thought, it's no big deal.
Well, and it is interesting because I think the world produces like several trillion plastic bags a year, and it's one of the biggest thing that ends up in landfill, and has a pretty good size what's called carbon footprint because it's made out of oil-based products, and it's probably one of the three or four areas that consumers are starting to really say it makes sense to do something about this, and either go to paper or bring my own bag. My own, you know, cloth bag in with me, and certainly it makes sense for the retailers to leverage both sides of that.
You know, you mentioned Walmart and how going green has taken a bit of a more mass appeal than it has in years past. Other than simply making a company more eco-friendly, explain, if you would, Will, what greentailing can do for a retail operation.
Well, I think on the front side of it, it really has a good potential return on investment, and that's the most interesting thing, that more and more, and particularly with oil prices high, more and more people are seeing in the business that if I invest up front in my fleets, in inner efficiency, on better scheduling of fleets, on building buildings that are environmentally friendly and actually save energy over the long haul, that the investment up front, it does cost a little bit more to put solar in, or it does cost to put natural lighting in, or go through the process of recycling all of the asphalt in the parking lot and designing it so that the water goes through it. All of those cost up front, but almost we continuously see more and more studies coming back from retailers that the return on investment is fantastic in terms of the savings on energy. And so I think in terms of buildings and fleets in particular, packaging is a big opportunity area. It costs a lot to package. This is an interesting thing from an advertising point of view as to where that's heading and how you optimize the two. But certainly packaging and getting packaging that is more environmentally friendly. In the end, the studies show that it returns, you know, invest money on the investment. And finally, recycling is pretty big and reusing. And the truth is that it's become cool for the high end to recycle now, with the economy putting on pressure on the luxury customer as well.
What a nice change of pace there. Will Anders, our special guest. Greentailing and Other Revolutions in Retailing is a brand new book he's co-author of. Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth here on the Advertising Show. More with Will and Ray and Brad in just a minute.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
When you say but, you've said a lot of things nobody else can say.
This is The Advertising Show. Ray Shillings, Brad Forsyth. Will Ander out of Chicago is our special guest, co-author of a book called Greentailing and Other Revolutions in Retailing. I always get a kick out of Whole Foods. We have it here in the Houston market and there are other places as well. What a great job they do as far as promoting a positive spin on living a little bit better life and shopping and such. I will say, however, that some of the folks that will not buy some of the produce there because it is indeed incredibly higher price than other stuff, Will. And you were saying that if a retailer can generate, you know, a positive return on a choice to go shop at a Whole Foods, like a same price or a similar price, people would have a bigger propensity to do that, right?
Yes, absolutely. I like I mentioned before, there is a percentage of the people who will be willing to spend more because either they feel it's better quality or they feel it's better for the environment. Or it's better for them, because a lot of what Whole Foods focuses on is good for me food as well.
True.
But I think in today's climate that there's a lot of pressure on that element. Certainly 2 years ago or a year ago that was clearly happening, but today I think Whole Foods is feeling that economic crisis that we see going through the consumer expenditures area. And they're feeling it, and they also are trying their best to cut the cost to bring them closer into line. So
sure.
It's a challenge for them, but they have had, you know, a passion from the beginning. They've thought green. They've acted green. They sell green products. They can pay a clear green message about being a store that's good for you and for the environment. So we applaud them for that. But they, like everybody else, are struggling in today's world.
Yeah, I think the greater inroads, Will, are going to be made to consumers that are more mass merchandise based, such as Walmart, as you mentioned. I know Safeway's come around in the green category a lot. And I frankly believe that although, you know, I'm a shopper and have shopped for many years at Whole Foods, they have a high price image. And I think many consumers know that going in. And with the downturn in the economy, I think consumers may choose an alternative, and therefore they'll choose an alternative maybe because of economic drivers, and as a result, maybe the Whole Foods won't do as well. But if those products are still at a more mass appeal retailers such as Safeway, Walmart, et cetera, then those efforts will still bear fruit. Let's talk a little bit about a company that may be listening in today, a major retail chain who's largely ignored going green. I can't imagine that there are any out there that have, but I suppose there are. Where would you recommend someone start in going green that maybe has not?
Well, there's two sides to this. One is things that touch the customer directly, okay? Taking a point of view that it's a mission for your business and that you sell green products and the consumer sees that up front, and that you're socially responsible and you give the green areas. That's one side where there's opportunities. That's a little bit tougher. It's a longer build, and it takes a lot of work in communicating and delivering that. But right up front, in terms of the buildings, the fleet, and the packaging, those areas are phenomenal areas that almost any retailer should be looking at, because they provide a return on investment very fast. And then, of course, if you do that, it makes sense to get credit for it if you're in an honest way, that you are helping the environment and you're doing those things that reduce the carbon footprint. And it's just doing things that, you know, are good business practices on the economic side. And, you know, I think probably I was looking for the quote to make sure I get it to you right. The one thing I thought was impressed with is Walmart's going in message that earth-friendly products won't save the earth if they don't save people or businesses money. Hmm. So, you know, it's a basic premise that's got to save somebody money somewhere, but there's a lot of opportunities to do that.
Yeah, well, that's a very good point. I'm curious, how does the U.S. compare with retailers around the globe when it comes to retailing? Are we leading the way? Are we in the pack, behind? How do we stack up?
I think from a consumer point of view, we probably have been behind Europe a little bit. They've been a little bit in front of us on some of the focus on the social and the product development areas and avoiding products that are harming the environment. From the point of view of buildings, fleets, supply chain, packaging, all the things that run a retail business, we're definitely leading the pack in that regard, because we've had discussions and we're actually speaking in other countries about some of the ideas that U.S. retailers are doing. And as I mentioned earlier, a lot of these guys are putting the pressure back into the supply chain and forcing the suppliers to meet certain kind of sustainable objectives.
Will Anders, our special guest today, co-author of a book called Greentailing and Other Revolutions in Retailing. He's also a senior partner at McMillan Doolittle out of Chicago, which is where we're talking to Will at this weekend. We'll be back with more with Will and Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America's
Will's book is called Green Tailing and Other Revolutions in Retailing. Will Ander is co-author of that book and also senior partner at McMillan Doolittle, out of Chicago, here with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. Well, it's great to have you here. Welcome back.
Good to be back.
Yes, I'd like to welcome our listeners from around the world listening to theadvertisingshow.com. Share with us, if you would, Will, some of the latest trends when it comes to green tailing. What's considered innovative today?
Well, the things that are leading the pack, let's talk about product. You know, the CFLs, the compact fluorescent lamps. It doesn't sound too exciting, but, you know, they're like 20% penetration now, phenomenal, and they were only 5% two years ago. Other products that we're seeing, you know, particularly are extended life paper products and some of the organics. Those are the big areas that consumers are really getting into. And then finally, recycle. The recycling areas are really caught to be hot trends and on the consumer side. On the manufacturer side or the retailer side, I think the LEEDs requirements and certification around buildings to get them energy efficient and conserve energy and reduce waste and produce renewable materials is probably the biggest driver that we see a lot of retailers getting involved in, and that is to get LEEDs approval. That's leadership in energy and environmental design, okay? Get approval there. Fleets and fleet management of energy, packaging to reduce the amount of packaging or to reduce the carbon footprint of that packaging. And then, you know, the recycling we mentioned of the plastic bags. Those are the big trend areas we see.
Sure. I'm curious, what are some of the greatest misconceptions when it comes to going green?
Well, I think one of the biggest ones is that it's fast and it's going to happen automatically and it's easy. I think there's some things we call greenwashing that's kind of interesting, and that's getting credit for it when really you haven't done anything significantly towards the green world. Certainly those are interesting areas that we see going on. That would probably be the main ones that come to mind.
You know, and you mentioned that, and it's unfortunate that some major retailers, major companies out there over the past few years have tried to jump on the green wagon, as they say, and have stumbled a bit. And I guess it's really a matter of sincerity as opposed to just looking for some kind of, you know, quick fix or some kind of quick positive reflection on a half effort, I suppose. Any advice that you would give a company out there that's thinking about going green? And I mean, do you really need to roll up your sleeves and go full-fledged, or can you ease into it a bit? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think from a timing point of view, you can ease into it, but I think it starts at the top. It's got to be a part of your mission and your core value, and you've got to have somebody at the top that's supportive of it and leading it. A lot of the companies have chief sustainability officers. I think of Office Depot as one of the leaders in that area, and they've really put together a team that's focused on all elements, and it starts right at the top. And then there's obviously working on what you do in your own business. There's working on what the products you sell, and then there's communicating that message. And in this case, I think you're smarter if you get the things in line and get your ducks in place before you go out screaming that you're green, because the business is somewhat self-enforcing right now. And that comes pretty obvious because your competitors are going to be on top of you if you're taking credit for something you really haven't done.
It amazes me how so few businesses seem to get that at this point. You would think that many more would be already on the bandwagon and forging ahead.
Yeah, I think it's like anything else. But I think we're seeing more and more of the pressures that we're not seeing that happen or likely to happen. But in new areas and new industries, they're going to be what we call greenwashing, and that's painting yourself as green when you're really not green.
The book is called Green Tailing, Other Revolutions in Retailing and Other Revolutions in Retailing. And the co-author is Will Ander. Well, it's been a pleasure having you here today on the Advertising Show. I hope you sell a whole bunch of copies.
Well, thanks. I enjoyed it very much.
We'll be back in just a minute with more with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
There is somewhere better to get inspired creative ideas. This is where it's at. OpenAd.net, the first online platform for advertisers, changing the way that ideas are created and traded. Access nearly 11,000 creative minds representing 125 countries around the world, waiting online to have a go at your brief. Imagine the impact such range and diversity of talent can have on your next advertising campaign. All creative work is IP cleared before you get it. We take care of all the details while you get brilliant ideas in a fraction of the time, at a lower cost, and with a lot less fuss. No endless meetings, no away days. When a client needed a new corporate identity ASAP and on a tight budget, they got the impossible. 170 creative solutions to the client in just 24 hours, from brief to deadline. OpenAd.net, busting down the walls of the ad industry. Put it to the test. Just go to OpenAd.net and give us a try. Hey, what have you got to lose? The future starts here.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
Back on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Thanks again to Will Ander for being with us today, co-author of Green Tailing and Other Revolutions in Retail. Brad, you're holding the book there. What is that for next week?
Well, The New Gold Standard by Joseph A. McKelley, who is also the author of best-selling The Starbucks Experience. But this book basically goes through a little bit of the legendary customer experience courtesy of the Ritz-Carlton Hotel Company, one of his clients, and obviously a great company that understands the gold standard when it comes to customer service and customer experience. So Joseph McKelley, great author, and should be an interesting interview next week, Ray.
Speaking of customer experience and customer service, you know, Gittimer, I would hate to be on the receiving end of somebody, a hotel, an airline, or somebody that didn't service him right. He ought to be flagged like crazy, almost like one of those passengers that they take behind the screens and say
right.
In question, because he's that much plugged into that kind of stuff. And boy, does he rip them apart if they don't take good care of him. And, well, he should, because I don't understand how some of these people who don't have the customer service or the customer experience down stay in business. I will never understand that concept. Here's something that's headed for extinction, Brad. It's called the Yellow Pages. Oh,
yeah.
The Yellow Pages industry is running out of lifelines. That's a good way to put it. This is Wall Street Journal stuff, too. It says, in recent years, as its customers migrated to the web, flocking to sites like Google, the telephone directory business followed, hoping the Internet would be its salvation. But that strategy hasn't panned out. Now the economic downturn is sending the already ailing business into a tailspin, and they're feeling like a dog. Right? The audience for the online Yellow Pages. It remains relatively small. Traffic growth is slowing, so many directory services are vying for the ad dollars of local businesses that no single site has an authoritative roster. Meanwhile, ad dollars are drying up. Small businesses are, they're not too proud to ask for an incredibly high rate. The Yellow Pages are.
You know, it's probably right up there with one day people looking back and saying, do you remember not only when we had Yellow Pages, but we also had a thing called classified advertising in newspapers?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah.
But it humors me because we'll get calls from time to time from people who want to want us to advertise in the Yellow Pages, and they just don't get it. I can't fault them for attempting to hang on. And see what they can do, but it's kind of weird to think about. And the good news is all of those huge telephone books won't have to be coming from trees anymore.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And this always irritates me, too. They'll see how many offices you have, and they'll throw you, like, you know, several pairs of these telephone books. It's like, you know what?
Right.
Why don't you just go ahead and give us one? We may use it, probably not. And you know, go ahead and stop making so many of these doggone books. That just irritates the crap out of me.
Well, it allows them to tell their advertisers how many they distribute.
Oh, much now, like the newspaper thing on the driveway thing. Exactly.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Hey, Gene Bliss is with us now. The customer experience. It says, hold on to your inner wallet. Well, let's find out what that's all about.
Welcome to the customer experience. Making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome. With your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
Release your inner creativity with Hold Your Inner Wallet. Who would have thought that riding the bus would be where all the in people are? Yet if you're green, you're riding lean. Taking the time now to find out the options in your community to ease the stress on your gas consumption will do wonders for the stress in your wallet. In 2007, public transportation usage increased more than in the past 50 years. And in the first quarter of 2008, 88 million more trips were taken than in the first quarter of 2007. So get on that bus. It's a party out there. Here are just a few of the other new trends that have crept up in the past few months. Staycations have increased. Families are actually spending more time together while consuming less gas. And scooter sales are through the roof. So take a deep breath, maybe even a yoga class, and get creative. There are options out there that will give your wallet the rest it needs.
This has been your weekly installment of the Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights from major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
Gene Bliss, always a pleasure to have you here at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Brad, go ahead and tease next week's guest for me again, please.
Well, again, the new gold standard, 5 leadership principles for creating a legendary customer experience, courtesy of the Ritz-Carlton Hotel Company by Joseph A. McKelly. Or Michelli, I should say, probably is the correct pronunciation, and also the author of best-selling The Starbuck Experience. Great author, great book, and looking forward to that. Real quickly, Ray, I have time to read it?
Absolutely, go right ahead.
Traditional television execs, I should say, were featured at the Future of Television conference recently, and they said that the full-length web videos on sites like Hulu are helping, not hurting, TV use. Yet a forthcoming IBM study showed that TV use is declining among viewers who watch TV shows on computers and mobile devices. And in a related story, Ray, Google's new attempt to monetize YouTube by launching sponsored videos has failed to convince digital experts that the service provides effective advertising opportunities. YouTube users don't use search like they do on Google, and they said for an AdWords application likely will not work. So, you know, you don't search YouTube. You go to a particular place for YouTube, particular, and usually you have a link. You don't use it as you would Google as a search engine. So we'll see how
that works
out. No,
they're two totally different things.
Sure they are.
And YouTube is kind of like a funnel. It's got everything there. If you've done your Google search and you want to find something, it's all there.
Yeah, it's qualified already through your Google search. You're right.
Incredibly intuitive as well. They might survive. What do you think?
They're owned by Google, so they'll survive.
Yeah, ain't that a fact? We've got a great show coming up for you next week, and we hope you'll be with us. And tell a friend about the Advertising Show. TheAdvertisingShow.com has been around since 01. And the really cool part of it is we started podcasting, I think, probably before they called it podcasting. And we've got those things up on the web. If you go to the site, you can go way back to 01 and see a lot of incredible guests, future guests coming to the Advertising Show, people like George Lois, who's been a friend of the show for years and been a part of it as well. So we've got George coming up in the next few weeks here. And a whole bunch more that you can go back and listen to, including some people who are no longer here with us. So that even becomes a little bit more valuable piece of audio for you to hear their commentary as well. So look forward to the next week's show. We've got the Advertising Show being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit them online at adage.com. And by the Captivate Network. visit them at Captivate.com. With Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.